of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. We're recording on Monday, the 22nd of July. We were going to record yesterday, Sunday, but that didn't happen. So we're recording now. I'm Aaron Lingley, as always, joined by your Alliance Council President, Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. Hello, my friend.
How you doing?
Doing great. I want to drink my beer. Can I drink my beer?
Yeah, because I'm just drinking water, as you could hear the clang-a-lang.
Well, let's hear the...
That doesn't look like Ronnie West.
I was going to get a Ronnie, and then I said, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I was feeling like shit yesterday, which is why we weren't recording. And today I feel great, even though it's shitty weather outside. So I was like, let me go get an IPA. It's kind of wet.
We broke our 20 or 30 day thing. It was 30 straight days of 80 plus weather, whatever it was.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, it was about a week before the in-laws arrived on the 3rd of July. That the last time I remember rain. It's been freaking amazing. Anyway, so I got some Diamond Knot. Gotta love Diamond Knot.
Is that code for butthole?
Diamond Knot?
Yeah, is that like your balloon knot? Your diamond knot?
Balloon? I've never fucking heard that before.
Yeah, the knot. Like if you look at the,
I understand. No, I get it. We don't have to visualize that any further.
Everyone has a butthole. That's fine.
No, diamond knot. It's a nautical knot.
Oh,
I believe
don't know what
that means. Well, the myriad
like
different types
knots
of knots
on the boats.
That's sure. Exactly. So you know exactly what it means.
But and I don't know what diamond means. Like, I've never seen a diamond a knot.
So Brian, our ferry captain up in the north, the islands, I believe it's the San Juan Islands.
I stand corrected. I have seen a diamond knot now that I look at it.
Okay. So it is a knot. Because I was going to say, Brian, who's one of our listeners and a ferry captain, can... probably go on our Discord and tell us, yeah, you're right, or you're an idiot. This is what it is. But
so that's from Diamond Knot Brewing in Mukilteo?
Hell yeah. My local brewing company. Actually, technically, I'm in Everett and Scuttlebutt.
Yeah, Mukilteo seems pretty far away from you, even in Everett, huh?
Well, I'm in South Everett. I'm by Painfield, which is we're in the Mukilteo School District.
Okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, Diamond Knot got laser sword. Got the laser sword.
What kind of beer is it?
It's a hazy IPA.
How are IPAs still alive? Like, how's the trend not died? It's very strange. Like,
isn't a trend for me. I love IPAs. This is like
every new beer that comes out is still an IPA, and I truly don't understand it. For a while, it was session beers, and then it was IPAs, and then the IPA one never died.
I don't know. I mean, I thoroughly have always enjoyed IPAs. I just like a heavier beer, I guess. Plus, typically a high ABV, and I need that. But anyway, about that. Well, things were going great. I didn't record the last episode. You and Nick, we were amidst
what
unbeaten streak. No, not even unbeaten. We were on a winning streak. Was that 8 in a row?
8 in a row. We had scored 17 of 19 points or something like that in MLS. Must have been 16 of 18 points in MLS play, something.
Something
won 8 in a row. Yeah. It was more than that, but we'd only dropped. We had I think 9 wins and 1 tie in our last 10 in MLS. Or no, that was overall. Overall. That included US Open.
All competitions. Yeah.
So we were doing good.
We're getting good results. I never felt like we were dominating anybody. We were getting good results, though, which is soccer. Sometimes you can go on a straight 8 wins in any against any competition, in any competitions. If you can get 8 wins in a row, you're doing some good stuff, but you're also getting some luck. If you're top 2-3 in the major leagues, in the more prominent world leagues that have a little bit more skill, you know, like Premier or La Liga, you're probably going to see 6, 7, 8 wins in a row a little more often. But I don't know, MLS, the parity, the craziness of the U.S. Open Cup, that's impressive stuff. So we should be proud of that, despite what has happened this weekend.
Despite now.
Despite because I think, where we sit now.
I mean, and to be fair, there's been 2 games since the last episode that included a pretty solid win over St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was maybe one of 2 games where it felt like this was a great team that belonged at the top of the table throughout that stretch.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, winning just makes everything feel good. But let's talk about other stuff before we get to that, because I think there's plenty of scuttlebutt from you know, all sorts of different angles we can talk about. Messi and Suarez being out of the MLS Cup, I mean the All-Star Game. The League's Cup starting up soon. There's going to be mass protests across the league. You're seeing protests in Atlanta, where friend of the show Garth Lagerwey is.
He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, of course. any friend of mine is a friend of the show. He's
get his ass on here.
Reshaping pricing, and so there's a lot of, it's much similar to what happened here when actually it wasn't him that did it, but he was here at the time, where they rejiggered prices so that some seats went down, and then rich people paid more. The problem is you don't, because of how tickets have been, you have normal people sitting in rich people's seats because they've been so cheap, and so a lot of people are upset because by the new numbers, they're going to be pushed out of their seats. So, not fun news for Atlanta going through those growing pains. So it sounds
like they were squatting, and now the people are back from vacation, and they're like, hey, I want my seat back.
No, they've been their seats since the beginning, and now the team's going to be like, no, you're not a real rich person. Get out of here.
That's in Atlanta?
Yep. So, lots of news around there. Let's talk about some big local news, though. We have 3 big things. Number one, if you haven't gotten tickets to the U.S. Open Cup semifinals that are taking place at Starfire, which is incredible to be able to see a game of this stature at Starfire, Grill FC still has tickets left. So you can go to Grill FC, buy a ticket. Don't need to be a member if you're a listener of the show. Just go in and buy one.
And when's the match?
Multiple. It would be August 28th, I believe. 27th? One of those dates. I think 27th. So it's a Tuesday. Game is, I believe, largely sold out. But we have our section available. So we have not sold all those yet. So you feel free to go out and get that as well. If you are a season ticket holder, please head on over to Collins, that's spelling out Collins, 4, Council, Council, collinsforcouncil.com. And click the campaign poster there of me, and you can vote for me for Alliance Council. I need 19 more votes to get another term on Alliance Council.
I feel like, didn't you just get voted last?
2 years ago.
Is that 2 years ago?
Yeah, 2-year terms. It was right when we started the show, I think, because we're on our 3rd year, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, wasn't it last November, October, December?
When I was elected president.
Oh, yes.
But this is just to be on the council in the first place. So,
you specifically have to be voted in every year for something.
If I'm president, right? So I made this, collinsforcouncil.com. This flyer here, rather than red and blue, it's blue and green, but it is an exact replica of when JFK ran for senator. So if someone goes there, they can just click on it, and it'll take them right over to the voting place. And then it's easy to log in and see where people stand or who you can vote for. I can see where people stand, and that's why I know I have 19 votes to go. But
Click it's, the send me the link. We'll put it in the show notes.
Perfect.
Put it in the Discord right now too.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I put in
the
time, a couple
the
times,
first listener to listen to this show, you're already going to have 20, which is one more than awesome. What you need.
No, yeah, you're right. I need 20 more. I need 25 total votes, but I need 19 more because I have 6. And the nice thing is if you haven't designated your seats, which most people have not, I would get all the votes for all your seats. So someone with a large account, just vote for me. It'll be good. And then finally, the other big news is the Rave Foundation had their annual gala on Thursday, this past Thursday, the 18th? And it was unlike any we've seen. It was a very expensive event. I got a minor discount as an Alliance Council person since we used to get to go for free. But we did have to pay now because I think it was like $10,000 a table or something like that. Jewel performed.
I was going to say, was that Jewel? I think.
Yeah.
Maybe you posted? I don't know. But
yeah, I posted some videos of Jewel.
Either in person or on a show that it was someone famous, a special guest.
So Jewel was there.
Why Jewel? Do you know why?
Well, Jewel? I think she performed the night before at one of the wineries with Melissa Etheridge. So she was in the area, and most galas like this have giant musicians perform. You know, I know my buddy who runs a thing down in Bay Area last time, I think he had Bruce Springsteen and someone as big as Bruce Springsteen. So like,
Bruce.
Yeah. So this is the first show they did that, but this was, let me tell you, it was at the clubhouse there at Long Acres, and it was a crazy big event. Like, it was pretty cool to be a part of. Obviously I knew by now not to go in expecting to win anything because I was going to be outbid by all the rich people who paid $10,000 for a table, but there was some amazing stuff. Now get this, the thing that went for the most was a ride the bus with the Sounders to Portland for their away match at Portland, sit on the bench while the players warm up, and then you get like really good seats for the game. And then Schmetzer came up and said that if the Sounders win, you get to come in the locker room and sing Jingle Bells with the team.
All right, that'd be awesome. I actually don't know how much fun it would be to be on the bus on the way down there, because athletes are creatures of habit. Usually that's headphones or some routine. It's also...
But the way back maybe might be fun.
Or terrible.
Yeah.
Or completely. But yeah,
I'm sure. But there's some people
But they're not drinking on the bus. I'm going down to Portland on the bus drinking and back up. Sad or glad. But don't get me wrong. If you offered me, like, you get your ass down to Portland on your own or you can come with the team, I'd be like, I'll go with the team.
Yeah,
I'll take it. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity. But it might
so
be.
So it ended up going
that
for
is cool.
$24,000.
Snap.
Yeah, and there were several things that went over for 20. Now, the funniest part was there was a point where there was an event with Maya Mendoza Ekstrom where you would get to go to a NW, and she former chief operator, COO of the Sounders, now CEO of the Rain, go with her to a Rain match away at Angel City. I was trying to bid it up because everything else was going for over 10,000, so I bid at 3,500. And then everyone stopped bidding. And I was like, oh no. Oh no. And then I think they offered something else. And then eventually one other person bid. But it was, they did the 3-2-1 like multiple times, trying to get someone else to come in. And then someone bid 4,000 and got it. I was like, I don't know where I'm coming up with $3,500. Oh my God.
You know where you could come up with $3,500?
Where's
people
that?
People join our Patreon.
That's true.
Give us $1.74. Support the show.
Oh,
support Cameron taking out Miss Mendoza Ekstrom out on a date.
Yeah. No, I don't think her husband would like that. But here's the thing is Lucas McCode, however you want to pronounce it, Alliance Council member.
How does his wife pronounce it?
Michaud. I believe. I said it right the first time, and now, but no one says it the right way, so now I get confused. Like when I when I first met him, but he did not come because it was his wife's first day back to work since giving birth, and she had a bad day, so they ended up staying home, and so we had two open slots, and then two other people didn't show up, and so they filled their seats with Sounders players. So I got to have dinner with Danny Masofsky, Jackson Reagan, Obed Vargas, and Bradilio Rodriguez. So I just spent the whole night, like while we were eating, just chatting away with Jackson Reagan. We talked about how we both went to university prep and, you know, just were just chatting it up. Obed, super friendly, super nice. You know, Danny didn't talk much, but he's very handsome. It was a good, cool thing. Reed Baker was sitting at the table, literally right behind me.
Apple juice.
Right. I was like, I turned Paul, like, Paul Cox was sitting next to Obed, and I was like, hey, ask Obed if he wants a beer. And he was like, no. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot you're a parent. Totally was going to sneak him a beer. He deserves it. He's really good.
By the way, I just have to say something. Because one, this is an explicit show. We swear on it, and now I'm on my second beer. But
oh, okay.
Your Machode didn't come sentence has been stuck in my head a few Michaud. Minutes now. Machode, I drank too much. Machode didn't come. All right. Anyway.
So it was a super cool event. Definitely did not belong there from a wealth perspective, because lots of very, very rich people, but at the same time it was still a pretty awesome thing to be able to attend. All the Rain players were there, Sounders players, and just gotta like hung out and had a few cocktails and a whole bunch of talking Rain
with the Rain.
Well, I wish I was
talking with the Rain players. Were you talking with the Rain?
Not too much. I was mainly drinking Talking Rain, the local carbonated
beverage. That makes more sense. Talking Rain's the local?
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought it was one of those generic big ass lame brands.
No, it's it's been around forever. It's been around for since I was a little kid, so.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah. Okay. I don't have any scuttlebutt other than I want to give a shout out to Jackson. And by the way, yes, that story was cool. I'm sorry. I completely glossed over it. The Talking Rain distracted me. Jealous.
Jackson, not Jackson awesome. Reagan. Although, shout out to Jackson Reagan. You were a good dinner mate. We're talking about Jackson Feltz,
mm-hmm.
who twice on Wednesday and on Saturday called the Sounders matches.
Play by play. Yeah. And I got to listen. Wednesday, I was unable to. And this happened before. I bitched about it. On Apple, excuse me, trying to switch to get the local audio, and it just like wasn't working, so I did listen to whoever. It worked this weekend, finally, and for whatever reason. And yeah, it was nice to, you know, I've talked to Jackson on the phone, I've worked on a couple projects with him, worked on a project with you with him, he's been on the show a few times.
Last so Friday, I'm Jackson excited and
to
I
see
went...
him get yeah. to that point. This is like what, this is his dream. to call yeah. Sounders and
oh yeah, it was great. He was so excited. Yeah. The Friday before, so not last Friday, the Friday before, I went to the Ballard FC's final home game with him. So we hung out and talked about it, and I know he was super excited. So I'm glad that he's been able to do that, and I just wish Wednesday was a good game. But I feel like some of the other games he keeps getting clunkers to call. I feel bad. And it's like, here, Jackson called the game, and then it's 3-0.
If you can, I feel like it's probably good to have, it's easy to be excited, especially if you're a fan at heart, yeah. right? Not like he's someone from outside the region covering a game, which makes it probably a lot easier. But when it's an exciting match, it's probably easy to call a game. It's probably easier to call be color on a game than play-by-play, because play-by-play
for sure.
And when you think about it, when you're watching a game, because knowing Jackson, I'm like, oh man, I know that guy. So I'm like, oh, what's going through his head? I'm trying to almost mm-hmm. do play by play myself just to experience, like,
yeah.
what would it be like to constantly
well, as you know, I've called
talk
color
about
with
the game.
Him.
Yes, I do, on our basketball thing. Color is, you're just the one talking about what your passion is.
Play it's still, if you're not, if you're not next to each other, though, it's hard. Like, because I couldn't see him directly.
That's
true. It was a little bit harder, so because we were watching the screen. But even back then, when he, for Sounders, or I guess Scuttlebutt Productions, I should say, called a Sonics game, like, you knew he had it, so... Like, being able to see him, yeah. I mean, it's tough, and he does a great job.
Yeah, he's got the cadence for it, and I think that's the key, you know?
And like he's so knowledgeable, too.
Yeah, well, with passion comes knowledge. But not always. Anyway, yeah, I just want to give a... I don't know why. I just that made it sound like that was a phrase that's from Socrates, and I just completely pulled that out of my
with toe. Passion comes knowledge. I mean, can come. I mean, Gracie's very passionate about some things, but she's passionate about F1 and you know, making that Lewis wins. She's not knowledgeable about it.
This is 100% true. Actually, Gracie's passionate about a lot of things, my dear 4.5-year-old, but she's not knowledgeable about every single one of them. I am so much smarter than my daughter. It's unreal.
What a dumbass. We're just dunking on 4.5-year-olds. It reminds me of, do you remember that guy Maddox? And this was probably 2003 or 2004. And you may have seen other versions of it, but he had a website, and he was the first one that was grading little kids' drawings for how good or bad they were on the internet. Oh, it was fabulous.
That sounds hilarious, but also terrible. Anyway, well, speaking of terrible, I mean, that performance this last weekend was not great in the least, and I'm bummed that it feels like I've been away. It's been almost 3 weeks since we did a show together, because you acted the last one.
And we were on a run of awesomeness that you didn't get to join in on.
Well, I mean, 3 weeks ago. You get earlier. Like, but five straight at that point, or four. At least four.
Yeah, but Nick and I were on a high at seven straight. Like, it was fun.
Plus, half our listeners think it's just you and Nick anyway, right? What was that? The scuttlebutt when we did? Yeah, anyway. But I after that game, I was not happy. So I actually was able, my lovely wife said, go. You watch the game at a bar.
Oh.
And just, I had covered a lot that day. So I was just at like a zero in energy, and she could tell. She's like, and I'm like, well, when the girls are down, at least the first attempt down, and then I'll go. And then, so I was still like 30 minutes behind live, but I went to just a bar 5 minutes away just to sit and have a beer, a little tequila, headphones in, laptop out, because most bars that aren't a soccer pub. I think the Mariners were on at the same time too, but
yeah, that was a trouble going down there too. I mean, it was, that's the thing. It was a sold out weekend at, the Mariner T-Mobile Park. I wanted to say Safeco. And so like it was packed down there, cause every single night the Mariners were sold out.
And cause they had their litmus test, playing a team, the Houston Astros, who have risen from playing shitty earlier in the year to now.
The fastest collapse from a 10-game lead, where they went from first to second in the history of baseball.
No shit.
24 games. 24 games. The previous fastest was 33 games by the 1995 California Angels, when the Mariners caught them to force a one-game playoff. When the Mariners made the playoffs for the first time, and then it led to the Edgar double.
Well, that's a
step. The fastest. Now, there's been people who've gotten as many going from like third to first, but they didn't make up that much over one team. They was over multiple teams. The fastest drop from first to second. So people have gone from third to first faster. But the fastest drop from first to second in Major League Baseball history.
Well, that was their litmus test this weekend against the Astros, and that's
crazy and
annoying stat to hear, but I feel like this was our litmus test for the Sounders as well. Coming into this weekend against LAFC, and
I think it is a litmus test, but not the litmus test.
Well, we had everyone available,
but
De La Vega was starting.
But De La Vega still doesn't where he's playing different positions every game. We don't know. He was playing a different position this game. People were moving around a lot. I'm not making excuses because we got boat raced off the field. Like, it wasn't even close. They are a more talented team than us.
Well, let's get into it then. Let's get into the way this mad season has given us. LAFC, 3-0 loss. Dun, 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 dun. Did you like my mad season reference there?
Yeah.
Talking about local products. River of Deceit. So I was telling you that before the show.
Was Lane Staley the main singer in that one?
That is one of the... Yeah, really? You're confused? Yes.
I mean, because I loved Mad Season. My brain... I'm just old now, right? Like, it was a long time ago.
And you had COVID twice now, so your brain is pretty
Three times.
Yeah, I thought it was twice.
No.
I thought it was away trip in Charlotte. Like, didn't he catch it in Charlotte? And then
I got it in Nashville.
Chicago or something?
And then I had it when I went to ISC through Detroit into Montreal, and then I got it in January. So you were too busy being
so ISC.
And then I just got it in that's when I got it in January. I mean, and then I just got it a month ago, 2 months ago? I don't know. You were too busy being
I remember 2 months ago, not January. Anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so my brain is mush. But I will say
Lane Staley, absolutely. Mike McCready.
28 years ago, I used to see him walking around the Ave when I would go for lunch my junior and or senior year of high school because I went to high school on Capitol Hill. I said the Ave. I meant Broadway. I see him walking around Broadway.
Yeah. Well, the reason I brought it up before the show is after the Sounders game at the bar, which caused me to drink a little bit more. I mean, I'm by myself with my laptop and headphones in. So, I mean, when we're playing terribly, I'm going to order another drink. So I get home, and I have a couple more drinks, and then a little bit of marijuana. And then I get on YouTube on what I've brought up on the show before, my 74-inch beautiful TV that I bought. And I only mentioned on the show like 18 times or every other episode because I had the same TV for 2009.
That's wild.
Yeah, so 15 years. LED, yeah. And it was great too. But I was just like, when I buy a TV, I buy a fucking TV.
Since 2009, I've purchased 5 TVs.
And I just had the one. So anyway, I'm super excited about it. And I throw my headphones on and I get it. I'm just watch some music video. Not music videos, but live music. Mm-hmm. And River of Deceit by Mad Season was one of them. People, especially if you love Seattle music history, go watch. There's a couple videos of them doing it live. Because they only did one album together. A little super group. Yeah. Got Screaming Trees, Pearl Jam, and Alice in Chains all represented. And there's someone else, and I'm having a brain fart. Anyway, little Seattle supergroup. Fucking awesome.
So good. And song.
Lane Staley's voice is one of a kind, and no one's ever going to sound like him.
Didn't they put out something for the live show reunion they did? I feel like they put out a live because... And then they had some bootlegs that were out that I think they may have officially put out later. Because in 97, I went to a Mariners spring training. 96? 97. I went to Mariners spring training. I went 95 when they had the replacement players, and I went in 97. But part of that was checking out Arizona State because that was one of the colleges I wanted to go to. I did get in, but it was like if I'm going to a state school, I would go to Washington. Didn't end up going to a state school. But at a record store in Tempe, I actually bought a Mad Season live concert bootleg on CD back then. So... there is some pretty good live shows out there that you can find. But when they did that reunion show, like, was it pre-COVID? Like 2019, 2018?
I had no idea they did a reunion show.
Oh, they did. Like, they sold out the Paramount. Yeah, or maybe it was Temple of the Dog and they just played one of their songs. That probably is what happened.
Either way,
because they re-released that album though. The open.
Yes, please.
They re-released. It's just called Mad Season, right?
I don't recall the album name.
In like a what was it? A 30-year deluxe package or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think the intention was to be another group together. I think it was just a project. Let's put out an album and do some shows. I could be wrong, but that's
what I think that's right. It was great. It was because I mean Lane, that he was literally alive and kicking. That was before he died. So, and it was fascinating because there was a long time, and I think largely due to his addiction, where Alice in Chains wasn't putting out records. Mm-hmm. Like their first 2.5 records, because that one was an EP, were so spread out, and yet all of them are genius in their own ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, we went, like, let's talk about the Sounders. It's because the game was so terrible. All right. Yeah. Anyways, I brought that up. The game was terrible, and it's been a mad season, and it's now the title of the show. But I also went down a rabbit hole of YouTube music videos, and I just have to say, Fast Car, Tracy Chapman, and Luke Combs at the Grammys. Check that out. And Tenacious D does a cover of Wicked Game for, like, a minute, and it was pretty fucking awesome. So
You can tell that you've been off the radar a bit. Like, you've been dealing with the newborn because you're bringing up stuff that was, like, the top videos. Like, that of the Tracy Chapman one was, like, the top video.
Yeah, I had no idea that happened.
Oh, yeah.
I
didn't even know it was, like, the number one trending thing for, like, a week.
No shit. All right.
Yeah, when it happened. Yeah. Because the amazing thing about that, and we'll get to Sounders, but Tracy Chapman doesn't perform live anymore.
No.
So the fact that, she since then has done some shows, but spent a long time not performing. And so it was a kind of really cool moment. I wonder if some of those amazing. Luke Bryant, what's his name?
Luke Combs.
Luke Combs, if some of his fans, though, maybe were angry, being that he tends to fall into that MAGA crowd.
Yeah. Well, then I'm sure.
But this either isn't way, a political podcast.
Either way, it sounded amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
It's definitely not a political podcast, even though there's plenty of shit we could be talking about politically since we last recorded.
Yeah, you realize like, one of the craziest weeks in the 2 weeks in the history of United States politics has just happened. No matter what you believe, one of the craziest 2 weeks in U.S. politics has just happened. We're going to talk about how the Sounders lost 3-0. So
let's do it.
Let's do it.
Well, like I mentioned, this felt like a litmus test for me.
Yeah.
Not for me, but this felt like for the club.
Yeah.
Mainly because, like, okay, you have, and this was reiterated, not the litmus part, but that I have everyone available. Schmetzer said this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the talk was with when the lineup came out. However, I'm seeing Rui Diaz on the bench and Leo Chu on the bench, and we're watching a whole game without Leo Chu getting any fucking minutes. And especially the way that game was going.
Has he earned minutes? Most people would say no. Most people, I think he, based on the amount we pay him, he has, but
I think he's actually been playing pretty well, and he's had involvement in that game of 8 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, coach said he switched. He decided to switch up the roster. And when we're playing terrible
for 90 minutes, and he doesn't get one of them, the one game he's not getting minutes.
I mean, who are you putting him in for?
I'm not saying he's number one. We don't need to get straight into Leo Chu conversation. Okay. I'm just saying everyone's available, and he didn't even get minutes. Raul's on the bench? ? Because he was on the bench to start on Wednesday against was St. Louis Wednesday?
Yep.
Okay. So he started on the bench, mm-hmm. St. Louis.
Same place he's been for the whole
and here, neither is a road trip. Months. Yeah, well, everyone's available. I thought this was a litmus test. This was there should be no excuse we're not competing. There's no excuse this isn't a close match. Yeah. If you believe that this team is a champion, can be a championship team. We just had, bad luck to start the season. With injuries and whatever. None of that's wrong. There was bad luck. I still think we're a great team. But It's frustrating. It's frustrating for LAFC to come into our fucking house and we don't even stand up. We just get punched in the face the entire fucking match. And that is not acceptable to me.
I agree, but I do think they made adjustments at halftime where we were not getting run off to the field in the second half. We were competitive. It wasn't enough, but we were competitive.
Except my only counter to that is they were in control of the match even still. I mean, the last 15 minutes, Bawanga is basically just like, let me try something.
Bawanga's one of the best players in the league. Like, we've never had an answer for him. Here's the thing. Let's go back to what you're talking about. We'll get to that. Reed Baker-Whiting started in the left. Baker-Whiting shouldn't...
Above Nuhu.
If he's starting, he should be starting on the right. Nuhu is an offensive dead zone. He's a mediocre defender and is even worse on offense. He's giving Reed Baker-Whiting nothing. So you're basically putting Reed Baker-Whiting in a position where he can't do shit. Because Nuhu is going to sit back there and run up the field like he did and then just do nothing. I mean, did you see the image of Reed Baker-Whiting like going like this, like talking like...
Use your head. Yeah. I didn't put a note here. I'm glad you mentioned that because I was like, that's a bad sign when you're... It's not like Nuhu's 31 veteran, but he is a veteran in terms of he's had starting minutes for at least 5 years now, right?
Yeah.
Right? And World Cup fucking experience and playing
and AFCON
and shutting and down Salah.
Not World Cup because Cameroon didn't make it, but AFCON.
AFCON, sorry. Yeah. And then you're having our 18-year-old who's barely, he's got maybe a couple hundred minutes on the first team.
Yeah.
Maybe telling you to use your fucking head. Not a good sign.
And here's the thing is, I don't see what Brian
sees. Not like we needed that red flag or anything.
No. I think Reed has always been better on the right. For Defiance, he plays largely on the right when he was there. So I don't understand why we're consistently putting him on. Like when we put him at left back a few weeks ago, and he had an okay second half, but he had a disastrous first half. That wasn't the problem this game, though. That might be where we didn't score. The biggest problem, and I can't believe I'm saying this, was Christian Roldan.
Yeah, no.
They were just running right around him. He couldn't do anything, and that's not his fault. I feel like he needs to be thrown a lifeline. He has a, what, 3-week-old? He's not sleeping. Like, do something to help him. Even on the penalty, while it was Nuhu's fault, I don't like that they gave a penalty. I think it should have been a direct kick from the 6-yard box or whatever point it is right there.
I mean, because, it was 6 inches away from the
end line. Right, but I don't think you would do it there. You would do it. Line. I think they move it back slightly.
Can you do that?
Because it's a direct kick. It's not a penalty.
Is it like in putt-putt where it's like, okay, you take the full length of the head of your putt-putt and then you move the ball to that because there's no way you can get a swing off the wall.
Yeah, because when there's a foul in the box or something happens in the box, it's either a penalty or you can get an indirect kick. But no, you can kick it directly in the goal in certain instances. Is it always an injury? Regardless, Nuhu laid on top of the ball like a moron. So it should have been.
I don't think I've ever.
He literally laid on top of it, pinned it below his chest, and then put his head down.
I'm sure it's happened, right? I feel like I've seen all of soccer. But I've never seen that little sequence happen before.
Yeah.
It felt amateurish. Not just Nuhu. I'm just talking about like what I'm watching. I'm like. You guys
Obed and
like
Reagan ran up,
idiots.
Missed the ball. The ball goes past. It's back there. It's like Keystone Cops.
Yeah.
They're just like running around, bumping into stuff. It was a very odd sequence. And then the Bogush, is that how do you say it? You had it. I always call him Bogus.
No, so my first, I texted you. Yeah. And I was like, oh, but don't give me any emotional responses to the match because I'm 30 minutes behind you. But I wanted to call the show Oshkosh Bagoosh.
Yeah. So I don't know how to
because his name is it's Bagoosh.
Yeah. I just it's think like, bogus.
Cause I don't know. I can't.
But his goal.
Oshkosh Bagoosh, subsidiary of Oshkosh Bagoosh.
His goal was a great goal, but at the same time, players could have played it better. Fry was not in position. I mean, I don't think there's much to talk about in the first half other than we were bad at almost every position. And I think our we had something like 7 shots, but a 0.17 goals, expected goals.
Yeah, it's basically like if they all had the passion of Gracie of soccer,
yeah,
but not the knowledge of soccer. What's interesting
but
is...
But see, here's the thing is, with passion comes knowledge, so you think that would have been out there playing well.
Yeah, well, that's... And that's what I'm saying, because you said no. And I'm like, yeah, they're all dumb. They're playing like idiots, falling on the ball. So I actually think it was interesting. The first, like, 15, 20 minutes of the match, from my perspective, it was very open and kind of exciting. Granted, no goals had been scored yet by LAFC, so I'm not already pissed off. But the midfield was pretty wide open, and it felt like...
Yeah, by the time you texted me, they had gotten their goal, the first goal, though.
And so now in hindsight, when I think back, it almost feels like LAFC was like, why are they playing so terribly? Like, we expected better of them. Well, like, what the fuck is going on? Okay, should we just take over now? Should we just take over the match and beat them? Because I thought they were going to put up a fight because they're the Sounders and we're in their house.
Schmetzer spoke to this. He said, look, I made some decisions in terms of who I was starting where because of how many games we played, because of midweek games. Maybe didn't prepare the players right, and he took the credit for the loss. Clearly, they were not prepared correctly because they didn't know what was coming at them. I do think that at halftime, they made some adjustments. JP clearly was very tired. People around me were saying he needed to come out because of being tired, you could tell, before the half. He could have left him in a little longer, but decided to take him out when he did. And De La Vega, same thing. De La Vega, when we've seen him other times, is coming in and being able to run freely, and that's not something he had
against
in the system.
Against tired players.
Yeah, and that's not something he had in the system. I think he will be as good as he can, but he just doesn't have enough healthy time with the players up top. Mm-hmm. As to Rui Diaz, I mean, he's been on the bench the whole year. I wouldn't expect it otherwise. Jordan's our 9.
He was starting the beginning of the year.
The beginning of the year, but he's been on the bench since we started winning. He's going to be continue on the bench.
Is he our second or third leading scorer?
Yeah, but
is he our second or third leading scorer?
Until he came, but he's not playing. Until he subbed on, we were only playing one forward. When he subbed on, we played 2 forwards, but largely we don't play with 2 forwards. So they're always going to start Morris above him unless Morris is hurt at this point. So
if you saw this lineup that we had, or a lineup where Rui Diaz is up top and Jordan Morris is on the left before the match, which one would you pick?
I would pick the latter, but I'd
Reed Baker off, Morris in.
Yeah, I would pick the latter, but I don't think that they're going to do that because Morris is the 9 now. I don't think Brian's going to do that. I think Morris is going
to
be up
top. I'm not convinced that Rui Diaz needs to start some matches. I don't think he should just be a bench player.
That's what he is at this point.
I get that. I'm not saying he's not.
If Morris stays in form.
I'm saying he should be. He can stay in form and be on the left, too. He should be able to figure that fucking shit out, especially in form. He's got the legs to run on the left wing. And you
know
what? It didn't work
in the run
today,
of form he was in.
In hindsight, I'm right.
No, in the run of form he had been in,
mm-hmm.
You can't not start him at the 9. The amount of goals he's been scoring. Now, he was not effective against St. Louis until he became effective. He also wasn't effective because he was getting beat. There was a few games where defenders, because I watch him, right? Because where he lines up the first half, because we're generally heading north the first half, is right where I sit. And you have defenders just like literally holding him sometimes. And then the foul's not being called, frustrating him. But Morris has found a way thanks to being unlocked by Rusnak. But Rusnak wasn't able to unlock him. Obed was staying a little bit further back, I think initially, probably because we already went down. It just was a mess all around. And while Christian has been our best option at right back, And he's been great there. This season, he wasn't in this game for whatever reason. And everyone has bad performances. I'm not calling for Christian's head in any single way. What I'm just saying is,
of course, yeah,
we need a starting left back and a starting right back. And until we get those two things coupled with another forward or winger that is close to starting quality, I don't think we can hang with a team like LAFC right now. Now, if De La Vega works his way in and we face them again, even I think we'll see an improvement even a month from now. We play them in 5 weeks in the U.S. Open Cup. I think we will do better against them in that game because that's another 5 weeks for De La Vega to work with the team.
Yeah, with the League Cup in between to play competitive matches. There's
right, because there are matches going on. They're just not.
Yeah, it's not a break. It's just a switch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with you. And I think the frustrating thing is that it just seems like there is no answer. So I can be as passionate as I want to be about my opinion because, you know what, Brian Schmetzer's not getting it right either. So,
and he said that. I mean, I think if he starts a different lineup and they come in with some different tactics, maybe it's a different game. We still are not as talented as them. That doesn't mean we can't beat them.
Yeah.
And if you're in the playoffs facing them in a Western Conference semifinal, or a Western Conference final, anything can happen on any given day. Like, if you're getting that far, you just need, like we've seen, we just need a couple things to bounce our way and we can win.
Yeah, and we are now one loss out of the last 9 matches. So yeah. It's just that was not the loss you want to see in the scenario that you want to see.
Right.
At home against Elliott. So a real top of the table contender. Perennial good competitor. Like they are perennially. They just won. Was it this year they won MLS Cup, or the year before?
Yeah, year before.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I expected a lot more, especially after 8, and you know, De La Vega starting. I was just like, oh, it's clearly a win, and.
It doesn't get any easier in the league, though, because when we come back, August 31st, we play at Portland, and September 7th, we play at Columbus. Then we host KC, we host San Jose, we host Houston. Those should all be wins. Should.
I feel like
but those first two games back are tough, and in the meantime, we have to play, we host Minnesota this Friday. We host Minnesota this Sunday. We host Necaxa, I don't know how to pronounce that. And then we play at Minnesota on August 24th in the Leagues Cup.
Necaxa?
Yeah, in NECAXA. So it should be an interesting run here where I think you can play around with your the way you're doing it a little more in these games because they're technically meaningful, but are they? That's the question. Yeah, but, so
yeah, no, I'm excited for this opportunity because it's been annoying to watch tinkering up until, you know, a month and a half ago and be in that apathetic world we felt like we were entering, right?
Right, right.
And to have at least, okay, we are capable of putting on a string of matches where we get points and we don't need to throw away the season yet. And go into the break. It's like, okay, we're in a playoff position. By the way, Houston's above us on the table, so I don't think Houston's going to be a should win match, especially when we're at home against LAFC.
They're above us now.
Available, that's and we lost 3-0. Yeah. So
I mean, but LAFC is better than all those teams. No match is a given, but we should not be losing to anyone but the LAs and the who's in third RSLs of the world. We should be a top 4 team.
We should beat Houston. I'm just not saying that it's a that is a win.
Yeah, I think it's a must win though, based on the standings and what's happened lately.
Yeah, definitely.
We also play Colorado.
I think every match, almost every match is going to be a must win, in my opinion. The way the season's gone this far, it's like if we want to actually expect some silverware at the end of the season, hardware. We need to show that we can win every single match, be competitive, swing punches, not sit on our ass and get shown around our house.
Yeah.
Yeah, Houston's or Vancouver, Colorado, Salt Lake, LAFC, LA.
I mean, those are all the teams ahead of us.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. I was reading up.
Oh, but those are all the teams we play, too. Like,
we play San Jose.
Portland's ahead of us. We play them. Well, no, besides the Sporting KC and San Jose, they're both at the bottom. But yeah. Portland's ahead of us. Columbus obviously is ahead of us, but they don't matter.
Portland's below us.
Did we jump them finally?
Yeah, how? We have 37. They have 36 points.
Oh, they must have blown. Okay. And same then that's games it. Played. Those are our last games. We host Houston. We play at Vancouver, at Colorado, and then we host Portland. So all we have left in the season is Portland twice, KC, Houston, at Vancouver, San Jose, Colorado. So it's all teams ahead of us except for those two.
We play only 32 games?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. We have 8 more games, it says. Oh, we have one more against Minnesota. Oh, no, that's Lee's Cup. Yeah, we have 8 more games.
Either way. All right. Yeah. Every game's a must win, especially when you're going to be in at least a top four, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting in a playoff spot at present, but not a solid one.
I don't feel comfortable. It's not... I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel as bad as the 10 through 14, Austin, Dallas, Kansas City, St. Louis, and San Jose, but who are not in the current position to make the playoffs. I don't feel that bad. I feel like, but I don't want to limp in. I don't want to have a 3-0 loss the game before we go into the playoffs kind of feeling. You know, this was the game before a break. This should have been like, let's just end the season feeling good.
I mean, it's tough, right?
The outcome of Leagues Cup. I want two or three competitive matches for the club to get this tinkering worked out because I'm sick of the tinkering. I want to know what my lineup is, at least have a good idea of what the core lineup is, and not see Roldan all over the place and not see Reed Baker Whiting pop up over here and knew who's pissing us off. And
Here's the thing is they have to do it then because those last 8 games of the season are tough besides besides KC and San Jose, but we lost. KC was the worst team in the MLS when we lost to them. Yeah. Like, I was at the game in San Jose where we lost to them when they were the second worst team in the league. So they're all of those almost become must win because Portland is even with us.
You've already lost.
We play them twice. We've lost to, we've already lost to KC and San Jose. Houston is ahead of us now. Vancouver, are they still ahead of us? Barely, I think, are still ahead of us. And Colorado's barely still ahead of us, even though they've lost a few in a row. So we've been trying to catch them, but that middle of that table is busy, and we've got some work to do.
For sure. What do you think is... Now, if you think... when you had mentioned Reed Baker Whiting on the left wing with Nuhu there, and they just don't work together, I was thinking of if you've played FIFA Ultimate Team, and they have those, like, chemistry bracket. Things that connect the positions and how you do it. And, like, red is, this is bad chemistry. And this is yellow chemistry. So they're okay. You know, based on nationality, based on preferred position, that kind of thing. Like, without, like, a best 11 formation, regardless of formation, what are some of the best, like, chemistry pairings you want to see on the field? You know? Like, I want Rui Diaz to be starting some matches because of how condensed the schedule is. I don't think he should just be relegated to the bench every single match.
The last match, though,
but
we saw some good chances from him, but he kept having to come back to play midfield because there was no one to service him because JP wasn't in the game anymore. And it doesn't feel like Obed, was it Obed and Christian at that point in the middle? I think it might have been.
I think when Alex came in and then, and then rolled on, Christian pulled up.
I mean,
I guess we could assume a formation. Like, we have to have some structure, right? So, if we're doing a 4-2-3-1, which is the Schmetzer way, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, what do you think is the best chemistry on the left side? We're assume Reagan and Yamar in the middle, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So, left wing, left mid.
Cody Baker with anyone. He had one game where he made mistakes, and then he didn't get another chance. And Reed, while he can play on the left, obviously, often plays on the right, and that's where we've seen him unlock going forward, which is why they liked him at right back, because it gave him a little more space to move with the ball up the field and have more time for his vision to kick in.
You know, I don't disagree with that, because if you're going to put, I think, should we put Reed Baker on Whiting on the right?
I think it depends on what you do with Christian. I think I like either of them on the right. Yeah. Christian and Reed on the right, flip flop, however you want to do it, or Obed on the right. If you wanted to do that too, because we've seen that.
When you say Reed on the right, do you mean right mid or right back? Or you either. Said either way.
Either way. You put Christian, him, the flip-flop. So you still want based
Chris,
on
you what, still, you're still okay with Christian as a right back?
Yeah, I don't think one bad game defines a season. I think he's tired because he had a baby.
By the way, I don't pity parents that have $1 million incomes. I just don't. I'm sure he's getting some fucking sleep.
I don't think he's $1 million, is he? Isn't he making like $400,000 or something like that?
Which basically is a fucking $1 million if you make less than $100,000 a year and you're raising kids. I think with family support.
Yeah.
I don't know if his partner works or not. But
I do not know.
If I was making $500,000 a year, I would be making sure I'm paying for some support to help my family so I could keep making that income, especially when I'm an athlete. But you never know.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be doing it yourself. You know that. You all the time, I need to be super dad and go help my wife because I'm a great husband. True. Look at me. I'm a good husband. I'm a millionaire, but I need to do it myself because I'm a good husband because you're too good of a husband. That's what
I
I'm
just
saying.
Assume the worst out of people that make a shit ton more money than me, I guess.
But no, yeah, I mean, that's fair.
I guess nice people can have money and still be nice
right.
people.
But there are times, right, where it makes sense. Pay for it. The season's not that long. There's not that much time left. I don't know what was going on. He just seemed tired, and he was getting run around. So,
yeah. And he's been playing a shit ton of minutes too. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me of his minutes, but I feel like he's either played full 90 for most of these matches. I don't recall him being subbed out too often.
I think he got subbed out one time. I want to say that I remember. Otherwise, he's been playing full. So
yeah. Yeah,
I can tell you definitively how many minutes he has compared to everyone else on the team.
So
he is second on the team with 2,052 minutes behind only Jackson Reagan.
Yeah. So, I mean, younger. Baby or not, that's a lot of minutes for especially dancing around like that, where he's been back, right mid, midfield. So he's allowed to have a bad game, especially because he's been one of the most stalwart players of that.
I screwed up.
We've had.
What are we doing? Paul Rothrock needs to start in the right. During this run, he brought every single time he played. The one game he didn't start, we sucked, and then we subbed him in and we took over the game. Paul Rothrock brings a pace to the team.
I enjoy Paul Rothrock. I'm not convinced by Paul Rothrock.
He's the only player that shows up out there and brings us a spark. The way De La
Vega fair. Is. That's fair. That is a super sub for me. Right now. I'm not
He started and see all those wins he was starting for the most part, so I think you gotta play him.
All those wins we didn't have our quote unquote best available.
Yeah, but he was out there and we were winning. We took him out and now we lost.
Yeah. Fair argument. You're not wrong. I'm not convinced that he's the best option at just start and play full 90 every single match.
Here's what he does is he has a motor on him that doesn't quit, and he's going to run nonstop the entire time.
Would you say he's a motorhead?
Yes. He's just like Lemmy. I would say on our team, he's a real ace of spades.
R.I.P. Remy, by the way.
R.I.P. Lemmy. Stuart Hawkins, I'd be remiss if I didn't shout him out because he played for the USA today in the U-20 World Cup qualification game. This game stage, well, I guess it's game two of the group stage. USA won the first one 9-0. We beat Cuba 3-0 today, so it's cool to see a Sounders player starting out there on the U-20s. It was 3-0 when we started our show. I guess it could have changed after that.
Not going to lie. For the first 10 seconds of you saying that, when you said Stuart Hawkins, I was thinking Taylor Hawkins because we were just talking about Remy and Motorhead and Rock and Roll. So I heard Hawkins and I was like,
yep, we got a drummer.
A dead drummer. Taylor, too. Oh, wait, what? He didn't play for us recently. He's dead.
So let's look at Rui Diaz's numbers. He has 8 goals and 2 assists in 1,300 minutes versus Morris, who, this is for the full season, I would like to see this breakdown now, 2,008 minutes, 9 goals, 1 assist. Now, since things have turned around, Morris is on fire. If you'll remember, at that point said, I don't know how we're going to take another 4.5 years of Jordan Morris missing shots. And something changed. And
he's like, fuck you, Cameron.
He got mad. There's actually this thing where anytime I text Jackson Feltz during a game and criticize Brian Schmetzer in some way, the Sounders immediately score a goal. So I've started doing that in situations where we need a goal and it works. So
because he was brought actually doing the play-by-play, though, you decided not to text him anything?
No, I didn't text him during the play-by-play.
Well, that's why we lost 3-0.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So tell him to put his phone on fucking silent, which I'm sure he does. Just blast him. Just go. Yeah.
I mean, Rusnak has obviously been amazing with 4 goals and 11 assists during this run. I think it was an off game. I would expect us to play better in the U.S. Open Cup semifinal. Now, if we do win and KC beats Indy 11, we host the U.S. Open Cup final. If it's the other way around, the Sounders have to go play at Indy 11 for the U.S. Open Cup final. Which would actually be a fun trip. I have friends.
That'd be cool.
So,
I presume Indy is Indianapolis, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I would leave.
I've been there too. Got a Greyhound out of Indianapolis, oddly enough. Oh.
I flew there once and then drove to Louisville. Well, I rode to Louisville. I was a kid. But here's my thing. You're right. This was a litmus test. We failed it. I don't think all is lost. I think we can learn lessons from this, including our coaching staff. I think we all saw again that we can make halftime changes where we play better. Not better than the other team, better than we were playing. And we have some games around us that if we can go on a little run again, we can catapult ourselves up to fourth place because we're playing all the teams around us in the standings. So, yeah, we have Leagues Cup coming up. But I think we should be okay as De La Vega becomes a greater part of the team. The one thing that's nice about it is, I mean, I don't know if we're getting another player. I hope we do, but we only have 8 games left. What kind of, if it took De La Vega a while, it's taken other players, except for Nico, a while to get into the play. How do we think another player can come impact in the same way? De La Vega's been with the team. I think he can have the largest impact pushing us forward to be a better team.
Well, like you were saying the last episode, we did. Yeah, yeah. If they can figure out his position. Like we were saying, especially with Rusnak actually being our best player right now.
Yeah.
He needs to stay in the 10th position. IMO. But, yeah. As you were saying before, that he's basically our summer signing.
Yeah.
Last time we did a show together, that's what you said. Yeah.
And I think we could bring in another player, potentially, but that player is not going to be able to just get into the play.
So I think at least we have the wealth of talent / or experience in the midfield to forward positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you alluded to it, and I agree with you, the left back, right back situation, which was, again, my number one depth issue before the season's fucking started, is do you think that's a position we need to sign? Because, yeah, there's only 8 games left, but if presumably we make the playoffs because every team makes the playoffs except for like 4.
I mean, we'll make the playoffs.
4 in each conference. Yeah, exactly. Right. Unless we tank. But the playoffs themselves are their own tournament, the way it's
I don't
now
think
set
we're going to sign a left back
You really don't think so?
I mean, in the offseason, yes. I don't think we're going to sign a left back or a right back in the remainder of this season because there's more you can do at those positions when more money's available. We only have $300,000 available for transfer fee and for that player. Granted, it's only half the season you're paying him for, but I think unless you're getting a player on loan,
Can you say that again? So we have,
We have $300,000.
I understand at this point it's 300. It's half of a salary, right?
Yeah.
But you know the actual cap amount and how much we can pay them.
So yeah, we have $300,000 available.
$300,000 a year player would, and we paid $200,000 for them. That's our
so it'll depend on how long that contract is for.
Yeah.
But because the transfer fee, if it's a 10-year contract, the transfer fee goes over that entire contract, right? But that's not what it would be. It'll be a 2-year contract, which means 150 will hit this, which means the max that person can make is $150,000.
Yeah, I don't think a good enough player to try.
No, that's right, a backup. You're better off figuring out, are you going to keep Alex? If not, can you use that money plus any other money that comes available to sign a better right back? It's a big decision you got to make, because that doesn't just affect Alex. It affects Christian as well.
Do you put Reed Baker-Whiting there right now in the next match in Leagues Cup against Minnesota? A familiar club in a different tournament.
Yeah.
Give him the opportunity to stretch his legs as right back. To show what you can do for me lately.
Yeah.
And are you now the right back? Because, yeah, Alex has been up and down this season. And he's never... He's a player you can see his ceiling. He's got a he can curl a ball in.
Before his brother got hurt, he was very solid. But when his brother got hurt, you saw a drop off, and I don't think he's ever come back from it. He's not curling balls like he used to. We're not seeing a lot of that. We see it every once in a while.
Holding on to that hope, but yeah,
yeah.
And solid, by the way, is not acceptable for me.
MLS standard. Quality starter, like he's
and that's
not.
I guess you're going to have a handful on every starting 11 that's going to be a solid MLS starter, because that's kind of what's necessary.
Well, and next year it'll be way different with the new roster rules, but we'll talk about that later when they've just added more.
We should just do a what the heck MLS episode where we can just
they basically gave us
relearn everything.
They gave us the right to sign three more Leo Chews, is what they did.
Well, I would love that. I would love three Leo Chews. My three little boys. So, all right. Well, next match is on
Friday.
I'm glad we're recording on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friday, Minnesota. In Minnesota, no less. Ugh. God.
No, it's here.
No, it's not.
Yep. Top team is home in soccer.
Oh, I'm looking at the August match.
August 24th, we play at
Minnesota. There are first MLS regular season, and I had scrolled down just enough to not see July anymore. So you're totally right. It's definitely here. But we do play them two games later, potentially.
Yeah, no, we play them Friday here in League Cup, and then we play the team from Mexico here on Sunday in League Cup. And then I would assume that if you
I'm going to go with Nakaha.
Nakaha. I'm assuming if we win both of those, you advance to more games, but I'm not sure when those would be.
Oh, for sure. I don't think there's 20. We have no idea who that would be. Anyway, okay, so Minnesota. The league's on pause.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to come out? Are we going to come out swinging?
That's what we thought last time, and it didn't quite happen. So we will find out. We will find out. I think starting with Minnesota, instead of playing, I think we played Monterey first and then RSL last time. I am confident that we will have a better chance against Minnesota, a team that's below us in the table, if we're treating it like a meaningful tournament, which I think we will.
Yeah, that's going to be my next question. Just to be like, let's get this wrapped up, but let's enter this League's Cup with some idea of what to expect, or at least what we believe to expect. Are we going to take this League's Cup tournament seriously and try to win it?
Yeah, I think so. For one main reason, the thing that the Sounders, the MLS as a whole, but the Sounders especially, and it's why we have always scheduled of late Mexican teams as our friendly until the League's Cup came around, is that we want to show that we are better than teams from Mexico so that, A, we can get those player signings over them so that more players will want to come play here, and, B, the MLS as a whole can move up, because right now I think we're 11th, and Liga MX is 10th. If we can move above them, that's a benefit. So, I mean, that's why one of the major reasons why this is happening is it's four teams in the MLS to prove that they can be better. Now, that doesn't always happen.
Why does Liga MX want to put themselves in a position to be shown as inferior to MLS?
I think it's more money. It's being able to come to American audiences, play in American stadiums, play to their fans that are here, that are loyal to them. That's
true. They have run out of space on their jerseys for advertising.
Yeah.
So they probably need more money somehow.
They also have way more, they pay way more than us, they have way more money than us, and they have...
It's probably because they have all those ads on those jerseys.
and it takes way less to develop a player. It takes a 4 times greater to develop a player in the United States than it does in Mexico, in terms of dollars. So, it'll be an interesting one. But of course, we start with Minnesota. So, let's go out and win that and make it an interesting second.
I hope we take it seriously. My goal for this, what I would like is just to understand, have the team understand who they are, and have some. I don't want to forget that we just won 8 matches in a row. It just, like I said at the beginning of the show, it didn't feel like those were 8 matches that we were supposed to win every single one of them, and we did. It was just like we're riding the wave throughout those.
Yeah, I mean, match, I think,
and we got great results.
So I think I agree with you because
my team,
LAFC, all of the points where we could have been taken advantage of during those games, we weren't, and LAFC took advantage of those things. So, I mean, I think we still have glaring holes on our team. The way you get around that is through coaching and through player personnel decisions, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Go Sounders.
Yay. Go Sounders.
All right. Well, reminder to join our Discord. Link is in the show description. Reminder to, I haven't checked Apple in maybe a month. But reminder, go on your preferred podcast home application where you listen to all your shows and give us a rating, a subscribe, one of those things.
Yeah.
Both of those things. I'm looking up right now. Do we have anything new?
If you do, we'll read it on the air. And so then you can get your name.
Nothing new yet. May 11th from Ricky Rocket.
Vote for me for Alliance Council if you're season ticket holders. Get on the Patreon. And give us $1.74. If all of you just gave us $1.74, then we would have $50.
Or Lagerway on the show.
We're saving Lagerway for something much bigger.
Much bigger.
Much bigger. So, I'm glad that you all listened, and look forward to having you all listen to our voices again next time.
You know what's not much bigger? Machode. Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFC Scuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.